This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by MM Comfort Systems. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
So it was another night of rioting in Brooklyn Center because left-wing pundits and politicians find the anger justified. So they do what they can to egg it on. That's what I believe. They push forward dishonest, disingenuous, bad faith arguments and headlines and talking points. It riles people up. They do nothing to correct some of the falsehoods that are being spread by each other, by politicians, by activists in the community. They put cameras in front of the most radical, and bam, you have another night of violence. They believe it is justified, even though the officer is now being charged, is almost certainly going to spend time in jail. I don't think she should, given the circumstances. We'll get into that in a moment. But remember, it is 2021 and ACAB. AOC is out there saying that the Dante Wright killing was no accident. That is what the squad believes, that this is part of systemic racism, even though it was very clearly an accident. But they want to pretend so desperately that this is yet another example of just a white officer willy-nilly deciding she woke up one day and wanted to kill a black man. The man did nothing. I mean, other than not only resist arrest, but literally flee in a vehicle that had no impact at all on what happened last Sunday. Now, the difference last night in the rioting was that there was definitely Antifa involved. Didn't really see any of that, at least from some of the coverage. Obviously, I'm here in Seattle, not on the ground, so I rely on the images coming out of Brooklyn Center. But last night, it seemed pretty clear that Antifa involvement was a part of it. Not just visually, because we saw that, right? We saw the tactics being adopted. Leaf blowers being used to blow away the tear gas that was used. You saw the umbrellas. You saw folks dressed in black block. Antifa members make it very, very easy for you to identify them. But they literally self-identified as Antifa to some of the reporters that were there. And they did what they normally do, which is not just merely protest out of anger, but commit acts of vandalism, light things on fire, and of course, they try to murder police officers, hurt cops, and murder cops. When you throw bricks at police officers, your intent is to murder. You might think of it, I suppose. You might tell yourself that, oh, yeah, I just want to hurt someone. Maybe. It won't really. They're wearing helmets. Sorry, I view that as intent to murder. Booker Hodges is the Minnesota Department of Safety Assistant Commissioner.
But unfortunately, there were those that decided to come out and throw bricks, a light here, alcohol bottles, cans, and other items at law enforcement officers.
Cans, by the way, that are full. Now, Officer Kim Potter was charged with second-degree manslaughter. She faces up to 10 years in jail and a fine of up to $20,000. We're now learning a little bit more about Dante Wright that I think is important to understand because there is context to the decision that Kim Potter made. It was, as you know, a mistake. They were making an arrest because they realized he had a warrant out for his arrest. He resisted, then he fled. She pulled what she thought was a taser. She said, taser, taser, taser. She fired what she thought was a taser. It turned out to be her handgun. He ends up getting shot. She says, in shock, I shot him. He drives away. He gets into an accident and he dies from that bullet wound a few blocks away. We now know that according to court documents, the open warrant for Wright's arrest related to an aggravated armed robbery attempt. Fox News says that Wright and another man who was identified as Emma J. Maurice, who's a high school acquaintance of his, so remember, he was just 20 years old, they had both been charged with first-degree aggravated robbery based on something that happened in December of 2019. Now, according to the documents, they were at a party at an apartment nearby, about 5 miles away from Brooklyn Center. And around 2:30 a.m. in the morning, two women at the home said that they could stay the night. They needed to leave. They said they didn't have a ride, so they said, okay, you can spend the night. So they did. Now, in the morning, according to the report, one of the two women left the apartment to get $820 in cash to pay the other for rent that was due. After paying the rent, she left for work. That left one of the women alone at this home with these two men. As those two were waiting for their rides to arrive so that they could leave, the other woman who stayed behind said Wright allegedly blocked the door, preventing her from leaving. He allegedly pulled a black handgun, quote, with silver trim out from either his right waistband or his right coat pocket, end quote, pointed it at the woman and demanded the $820. This is coming directly from the court documents. Now, the woman said, are you serious? And he allegedly responded, give me the effing money. I know you have it. Again, she asked if he was serious. And he allegedly told her, according to the court documents, I'm not playing around. He then allegedly choked her while trying to pull the cash out from under her bra, where she had tucked it away. The court documents say she was able to pry herself loose and, quote, started to kneel down and scream. She reportedly screamed at them to get out of her apartment, telling them that the cops were close. Dante Wright allegedly told her he would shoot her and said, quote, give me the money and we will leave. Give me the money and we will go. Court documents say he tried to choke her a second time and tried to take away the money. That's when the friend allegedly told her to give Wright the money. The two men then left the apartment, but they didn't get the money. Both of them were identified in photo lineups. Now, Dante Wright ends up getting arrested, then released on $100,000 bail. As a condition of his release, he was not supposed to have any contact with this woman or any of the witnesses, and he was supposed to refrain from drugs and alcohol, and he wasn't allowed to possess a gun. But his bail was revoked in July of last year because he allegedly possessed a firearm, and he wasn't keeping in touch with his probation officer, according to the documents that Fox News got a hold of. Now, on Sunday, when this all went down, his case was still pending. That's when he was pulled over, and you know how the rest went. Knowing what you know about his background and why he had that arrest warrant, should he have been arrested? Because I literally am hearing from folks who say he shouldn't have been arrested. Cops shouldn't have arrested him. What should they have done? He had an arrest warrant out. The reason why this is important, because it goes to his state of mind, not just the officers. He had to have known that he had an arrest warrant out. He had to have known that he wasn't keeping up with his probation officer. That's why he likely fled. That's the reasonable position that one could look at this and say that's probably why he fled. But we're supposed to believe that because he is a victim in this, he should not be dead. He is a victim. He's 100% a victim. But he's a victim of a circumstance he put himself in. Did he deserve this? No, he didn't. The officer made a mistake, a deadly one. But he decided to flee because of his background, not because anything the officers were doing that was inherently unfair. Not according to any of the evidence that we actually have. And that is important to understand. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8777 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to take you through an audit of the unemployment fraud in Washington State. If you thought it was bad before, oh,
oh, it's bad. It's way worse. It's way worse.
Should I even be surprised at this point, though?
Even I'm a little surprised.
Oh, it's that bad.
It's bad.
Oh.
Ooh.
Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So the state auditor is out with a new report suggesting the total amount of fraudulent unemployment claims that had been paid out in the state of Washington could top $1.1 billion, which is a lot higher than the $650 million or so that was paid out to the Nigerian scam artist.
Wait, you said billion?
Billion with a B.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's like more than you make.
I would say so. It's close, kind of close. That is more than I make in a year. So that's a lot. Kima Wasson of Federal Way is one of the people who's still out of work. He lost his job over the course of the pandemic. He spoke with Cairo 7 TV. He had an account with Employment Security Department, ESD, and it ended up getting taken over by crooks. He was the victim of identity theft, like so many others in the state.
I'm frustrated. I got a letter 1st of April saying that I qualified for benefits for unemployment, and I hadn't filed for unemployment.
You were working at that time.
I was, up until the end of July.
And unfortunately, he suffered the same fate as so many others, not able to get into the system, having someone else taking out the money on his behalf. It was a total mess. Now, the audit also found out that some forms of fraud continue to this day. There's a backlog of about 56,000 possible cases awaiting investigation. That was the number at the end of 2020. They haven't gotten through all 56,000. They say ESD had only been able to answer a small share of the calls from people with questions about their unemployment insurance. We've covered that in the past. It says ESD and other states were targeted with imposter fraud schemes that took advantage of new provisions in emergency federal legislation that didn't require the state to verify people claiming benefits were actually eligible for those benefits. So there was no checks and balances, essentially. All of this was happening. So who does he actually blame for all of this?
Governor Inslee was the CEO of the state when this all happened, and he needs to be held accountable for that.
But let's not give a pass to Susie Levine, even though she got a pass in the form of a better paying job within the Biden administration, a national job looking over benefits of way more people. It says prior to the pandemic, ESD lacked a proactive anti-fraud unit. And in early 2020, some tools within its fraud prevention portfolio were not working. For example, checking identities against state prison registers before issuing payments. That seems like, in retrospect, a mistake. Just a little bit. They say there were fraud prevention techniques that ESD could have used to lessen the impact of these schemes, but their resources were overcome by circumstances beyond its control. That part I understand. But they didn't mitigate any of the other stuff. Pat McCarthy, the auditor, spoke to Cairo 7 TV, and she was asked whether or not this is mismanagement, bad luck, or maybe something else is to blame.
Well, I think it's a combination of things, and that's what the audit tries to bring out into the forefront.
So, highlight, separate out the stuff that's bad luck and the stuff that's caused by human. Now, the human who's in charge got promoted. So then you go to, and ultimately you would do this anyway, you go to the human that she reports to, which is Jay Inslee. Maybe he'll release a press release on this.
If I give away a ton of money at our station, do I get promoted?
Why do you think we don't have any ability for you to actually have access to said money, including paychecks?
No, I mean, it would be nice if we could just start with that, but I'm looking for, you know, any sort of promotion there is.
Nope, no money for you.
Okay.
Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
I'm just saying, I called this when I watched The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Because you called this?
I said there was something up about Colton, who is a fan favorite. I didn't watch his original season, but I watched it when he was The Bachelor. And he was unable to truly find love. And someone in this office, Michael, who handles our social media, and we briefly did a podcast about The Bachelor until I forgot that we were doing it, and then I lost interest, which is the story of my life on so many things.
Paint me shocked.
He will confirm that I said Colton is gay. I said, I guarantee you Colton's gay. Because gaydar is a true thing, and I have it. Well, today, Colton came out on Good Morning America.
So can you tell us what you is on your heart that you want to share?
Yeah.
It's in his heart, not on his heart. It's not a tumor. I just, what's on your heart?
He's obviously, so like, this year's been a lot for a lot of people, and it's...
Is he going to say COVID made him gay?
He started out.
Is that a side effect? Isn't it weird how he is like COVID had an impact on a lot of people and it made me gay? No, that's just, come on, just say it.
Probably made a lot of people look
gay?
Themselves in the mirror and figure out who they are and what they've been running from or what they've been putting off in their lives.
Okay.
And for me,
he's shaking.
I've ran from myself for a long time. I've hated myself for a long time, and I'm gay, and. I came to terms with that earlier this year and have been processing
it. Good for him.
And the next step in all of this was sort of...
A date.
Letting people know. I'm still nervous, but... yeah, it's been a journey for sure.
I mean, it's only been 3 months. 4 months.
It's been a journey, Jason.
It's not been that much of a journey. The journey was before this. He was on the wrong journey, obviously. I'm glad he feels comfortable now coming out. It is rather odd for someone who is so in the closet or so in denial that you would go on a reality show that is hyper-focused on finding romance with the opposite sex.
Yeah, pretty strange.
That one is a little bit weird to me because I imagine, and I can't, I don't understand what it would be like to be this much in the closet, right? I mean, obviously, anyone who's gay is in the closet up until the point where they say that they're gay. But to this level, I don't quite understand. So he was really in denial, and I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the women who were interested in him in the on the shows that he went on, because they're all insane. Everyone who goes on any of these shows are already kind of mentally insane.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Emotionally insane, I should say. There was a follow-up question that's also just kind of weird from Robin Roberts, so I know we're all supposed to pretend is just this, she's great. Oh, my gosh, she's the best interviewer.
What was that moment like for you that gave you the courage to speak your truth as you are?
Okay, just real quick. What do you mean, your truth? Do you not believe he's gay? Your truth. It's the truth. Right? Unless this is like her underhanded way to say, well, your truth before was you were straight and I don't believe you anymore. I wonder if there are actually people who think because of his relationship with the show that he's faking.
Would somebody go out there and fake that for The Bachelor?
People on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are all insane.
That's true.
I don't think that is the case here, but I wonder if that your truth. What do you mean your truth? It's the truth or it's a lie. It's one or the other.
Pretty
it could be a half truth, I suppose, right? But it's not his truth. What does that mean? What is your truth? I hate that's put that on the list of things I hate when people say, "What is your truth?" or say, "My truth." No, it's the truth or your feelings. It's your opinion or it's the facts. 1-800-465-8770. Was I the only one interested in that story?
My girlfriend talked to... Oh, in this audience?
In this audience.
My girlfriend talked about it today. She's not in the audience. She's a podcast subscriber, though.
Oh, there you go. I'll do a podcast with Colton. That'd be fun. He's very pretty.
Call him up.
Yeah, I will. Oh, we don't all know each other. If he were Jewish, we would know each other. because we keep in touch. But not all the gays know each other. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to get to the AP Style Guide story in just a few moments. But first, I want to turn your attention to a segment last night on Tucker Carlson and then a segment this morning on The View. Because the folks at The View, as you know, are insane. They're crazy people. And you know that a lot of people are out to get Tucker Carlson because he is popular and influential. He asks questions that folks do not like asked, because oftentimes it points out that folks in power don't necessarily know what it is they're talking about. Now, we talked a little bit about how he's been accused of by the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, of spreading anti-Semitism because he said things that had literally nothing to do with Judaism that folks on the left have said. And the news today is that 1,500 rabbis came out blasting the ADL for calling out Fox News, asking them to fire Tucker Carlson. You have Newsbusters today compiling a list in just the last few days of how many times the Washington Post have asked or have called on Fox News to dump Tucker Carlson simply for having views that they don't like. And again, remember, it's simply because he's popular. 11 times over the past 6 days, a news outlet trying to get someone fired in the media because they don't like what he has to say. So the newest pretend scandal, completely contrived, is that Tucker Carlson is killing people by asking some basic questions about the safety of vaccines. I know, I can't believe it either. It's super weird. It's super weird that the day that Johnson & Johnson has its single dose vaccine put on pause over safety concerns, Tucker Carlson does a segment on safety concerns over the vaccine. In fact, the breaking news from the CDC that's happened in the last 20 minutes is that they are continuing to put it on pause. There was going to be potentially a vote today by the CDC asking whether or not they were going to bring it back into circulation. They're like, we don't have the details yet. We don't have the data yet. So the pause continues. But the folks over at The View want to pretend that simply asking questions as to whether or not it's as effective as we're told is somehow verboten. You can't do it. Here's Joy Behar.
You know, this Tucker Carlson person and others on the right who keep telling people the vaccine is not going to work.
Excuse me. He is not saying the vaccine is not going to work. He's not actually said that ever, I don't think. He did a 20-minute monologue last night saying, why is it that so many people are downplaying the efficacy of the vaccine while telling you to get the vaccine? Why is it that people are saying you need to get this vaccine, don't ask any questions, get this vaccine, but also wear your mask, double up, socially distance, and change nothing about your behavior? I think that that is a valid question. Why? Because I actually asked that question yesterday, too, and did my whole Newsweek column on it yesterday. I didn't steal it from Tucker. I did it before him. So let's be clear about that. It is 100% a valid question. Not just on whether or not it's efficacious, but on whether or not it's the right message to be sending if you want more people to get a vaccine. We said that before. If you want people to get a vaccine, why would you tell them, after you get that vaccine, people who are vaccine hesitant or who don't think it's a big deal, after you get that vaccine, you change nothing. Still wear that mask. That is a valid criticism.
Because you have to wear a mask after you're vaccinated. I don't understand what they're talking about. You're wearing the mask on top of the vaccine because no vaccine is 100% proof.
Okay, that's true. Nothing is 100% proof. The flu vaccine is not 100% proof. What is the flu vaccine efficacious rate? Between 40% and 60%. After you get that flu shot, are we telling people to wear a mask? The flu kills lots of people. I know that from personal experience. It killed my father. The flu kills. This whole idea of the wall, well, it's not 100%. Yeah, okay, but please, I know you're going to go into the whole herd immunity thing, which you don't even understand, right?
And many people have not gotten the vaccine. We don't have herd immunity.
Okay, but you do know to get herd immunity, people do have to get COVID. I mean, I suppose we can live in a world in which we force every single person to get the vaccine and somehow ensure that literally everyone gets it. But of course, you know that that's not realistic. And so for us to get to herd immunity, people are going to have to get COVID.
So it's like an extra way to protect yourself. What part of that don't they get? And what is the purpose of scaring people into not getting the vaccine?
He's not scaring people into not getting the vaccine. I watch that show every single night. I got the vaccine, or got half of it. He's not scaring people in. He's asking valid questions. Here's TV's dumbest lawyer, Sonny Hostin.
I'm disappointed that there's this significant amount of hesitancy, but I agree with you, Whoopi. The reason that people are getting vaccinated and still need to be so cautious is because of the growing number of white male Republicans that continue not to want to wear their mask, that continue not want to get vaccinated because they consider it some sort of freedom ride. And it just does.
Oh, you rubes, you stupid white male Republicans who don't support government mandated vaccines. Oh, gosh, you're the worst. Granted, vaccine hesitancy has been seen to have high rates in communities of color, which I'm going to presume are not really all that influenced by white male Republicans. But still,
doesn't really make sense. And I think people like Tucker Carlson are being very irresponsible by sending out this messaging, by sending out the messaging I think he sent out yesterday that maybe the vaccines just don't work. That is irresponsible. It's misinformation. And it's causing, I think, in the long run, people to die. People need to be more concerned about the virus, more scared of this virus than the vaccine.
What is so funny in all of this is Tucker has said over and over and over again that there are folks, mostly on the left, though not exclusively, mostly on the left, who go insane when you ask even the most nondescript question about vaccines. You're not allowed to ask a single question about vaccines. Am I an anti-vaxxer?
No, you're not.
Am I even close to living in that world?
No, not at all.
Not even a little bit. Again, I got the vaccine.
Half of it.
Well, I can't get both of them. Yeah, you
got
to wait.
Well, you could have got the one dose.
I got one. I'm going to get the second one when it's my turn. I got to wait until that appointment. I'm not anti-vax. I've got questions about the vaccine. I think there are reasonable questions you can ask. And for anyone to go ahead and say that Tucker Carlson is out there pretending that the vaccines are not safe is purposefully not only ignoring the context in which he's asking questions, purposefully taking them out of context, they're completely ignoring the actual messages on his show. For example, last night he had on Dr. Houman Nurchasam, Harvard studied surgeon. This is a guy who has been studying vaccines. He knows what he's talking about. Listen to just the small portion of the show last night.
So we had a fascinating conversation on Fox Station. You can look it up if you want. But in which you made the point, I thought very compellingly, these vaccines are great. You have high confidence in them, but they're not necessarily for everyone. If you have high levels of antibodies, both from previous infection, mostly from previous infection, maybe you shouldn't take them. Is the government taking warning seriously now, do you think?
Okay, I'm going to let him finish in a second. But did he just in there say he made a compelling argument that the vaccines are safe? That's what he said. Is that the same as they don't work, you shouldn't take them? No, not even a little bit. The context in which these conversations are taking place, and this one in particular, is about whether or not you need to have a vaccine once you've already gotten sick from COVID. Do you remember the conversation we had a week and a half ago with about Dr. Drew and vaccine passports?
Yes.
As you recall, he was annoyed that he might have to get a vaccine to travel, which are some of the rules depending on where you want to go, because he's already got COVID and he's got the natural antibodies in his system. And what did we say about people, according to the data, who have already been sick with COVID who get the shot? They have a tendency to get way more sick, according to the data, than other folks as a side effect. Their side effects are way more intense. And he's like, I don't want to get a COVID vaccine because I currently have the antibodies and I don't want to get really sick again. I don't want to get sick again. That would suck. That's all we're talking about here. They believe, some people believe, that part of the reason why the blood clotting issue is happening with J&J is that they were already sick and then they got the vaccine, and that could potentially be one of the reasons why they're having these deadly side effect.
Well, I haven't seen any evidence that they're taking it seriously, frankly. And you know, I think that, again, I want to reiterate, as we have before, that the most unprecedented thing that we're doing in this vaccine campaign is that we're deploying it indiscriminately into folks who have been recently or previously infected. And I think that we shouldn't underestimate what the effect of a vaccine-driven immune response is on the tissues in individuals who have been previously infected. And literally, the antigenic footprint of the virus persists in the tissues of the previously infected. So it's not a far stretch to imagine that those tissues, such as the inner lining of the blood vessel, would be targeted by the vaccine immune response. And, you know, I have not yet seen any evidence, frankly, of the FDA or CDC taking this seriously. And in fact, this is actually a very easy thing, Tucker, to evaluate for.
And he's basically going to say, just look at the blood and tell me if you have antibodies in there. But the context of this conversation is about whether or not it's safe for people to get once you've already been sick and sick recently. Do you get the flu shot right after getting the flu? People would say,
no.
No. What they're saying is, what he's saying is, and I think this is a valid point, why are we just telling everybody, regardless, just go ahead and get the vaccine? That is a valid question. And asking that question and pointing that out doesn't make you anti-vax. If you're saying, don't get the vaccines, it's going to kill you, that's different. That's not what Tucker's saying at all. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Associated Press yesterday sent a tweet. And a lot of people took notice. It's actually kind of unclear as to why they decided to tweet this yesterday. But they said, don't use the term mistress for a woman who is in a long-term sexual relationship with and is financially supported by a man who is married to someone else. Instead, use an alternative like companion, friend, or lover on first reference, and provide additional details later. How much later do you provide that additional detail? Why would you bring up a companion? Companion and mistress, completely different things, correct? Friend and mistress? You might not even be friends with your mistress.
That's a valid point.
Friend? You're going to say friend at the top. And then, oh, and by the way, by friend we mean you're providing a sexual function for this married person and they're providing for you financially. Really? That's seriously? They continue, we added this guidance last year. It's not new. We understand it's problematic that the alternative terms fall short, but we felt that was better than having one word for a woman and none for the man, and implying that the woman was solely responsible for the affair. Does it? Does it actually imply that? Because I don't think it does. First of all, when you say a man has a mistress, you're saying the man is cheating on his spouse. The judgment is on the person who's cheating. There are terms like homewrecker, right? That changes that dynamic, I think. That changes the judgment towards the woman, or I suppose the man. Right?
Has the AP said anything about Homewrecker?
I haven't seen... Well, you can't use Homewrecker. It's not in there. They just said you're supposed to say companion, friend, or lover. That is such a weird thing. They're saying... what is the word of the year? What's the key word?
Equity.
That's what this is.
This is an equity thing?
This is an equity thing. They're saying it's not fair that a woman has a term, but a man doesn't. And I'm saying... The man doesn't have a term. That part's true. The man has the judgment on them. Mistress, to me, is not judgy. The judgment comes on the person who is involved with the mistress. It's true that you should be judging the mistress as well, assuming she knows that the man is married, right? I suppose if you were in a situation in which the person didn't realize that she was in a relationship with a married man, you wouldn't call that person a mistress. And I don't know of any examples in which that existed where you called that person a mistress, right? A mistress should be judged. I judge more so the man. Because there's certainly been examples of people who say, oh, no, don't worry. I'm leaving my wife. We're separated, right? And they're not actually separated. And so he's just doing it to string the mistress along, the woman along, and she's a victim there, right?
Yeah.
So... I suppose it's true that there's not a version of a mistress for a man in the sense that when a married woman is having an affair with another man or another woman, right?
Yeah, I get it.
What would the man be called in that case? I don't think there's a term. How about this, AP? Come up with a term. I don't care. Call him a mister.
You know, that would be a good equity argument that there's not an equal representation over the men.
We're taking away a word that is meant to pass judgment that most people would rightly want to pass on a situation because we're not judging another person's involvement. Okay, instead of not judging anyone, why don't we judge both?
Judge everyone. I like this rule.
Well, because the behavior is wrong, right? It's immoral.
Yes.
And take morality out of it. You're just a bad person if you're cheating in this context.
Very much so.
You're a bad person.
So let's give the man a bad name to go that we can.
I'm fine with that.
Properly identify.
Why can't we do? Why can't we do that? The left makes up words all the time. Latinx is a made up word. It's not a word. So just come up with another word.
Why does the AP get to make all the rules and we just have to bend to them?
That's part of the problem here. So the reason why this matters, this isn't happening in a bubble. And yes, this is a small thing, right, in the grand scheme of things. It's not like we do a lot of coverage of mistresses. But they dictate style for a lot of newsrooms. And newsrooms abide by this stuff. This is a politically driven decision. This is a cultural decision that they're doing. This is driven by a perceived bit of sexism. And so as a result, they're changing language. They're changing language. And in this case, they're taking away the judgment, which means they're changing thought. And people are just going along with it. Not here. This is the show of the mistress or something, right? It's the Jason Rand Show.